And the scripture tells us it's not sinless perfection that is the earmark of Christianity. It is loving our brothers and our sisters in God. Remember that scripture? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. He didn't say that you'd be sinlessly perfect. He said that you have love one for another. John added to that in his epistle, and he said, by this we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's a powerful statement. I wish tonight, I don't know where everybody's at tonight, I wish they were here. I'm going to preach something tonight that can make the difference between life and death spiritually. Amen. I'm going to be preaching from the book of Hebrews. I don't know how far I'm going to get tonight in this passage. I'm going to preach to you the secrets of an overcomer. It is going to be a continuing message. It will be a series of messages. But a series that will bless your life. And if you will hear what the Spirit has to say, it will make you to be an overcomer in Jesus Christ. The secrets of an overcomer. Our first passage that we're going to read tonight is in Hebrews chapter 4. The last verse of that chapter. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That has been an oft-quoted but much misunderstood scripture for many, many years. I want to share with you tonight what Paul is actually saying. Let's pray together. Father, may your name be glorified. May your grace be extended to us. May your power become realized in our life, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to share with you tonight, Lord willing, I hope we can get through all three tonight. If we cannot, we'll pick it up next week. There are three things from the book of Hebrews that I want to talk to you about. This is the first one. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Many times I have heard that passage used to describe the individual who comes to the Lord. He wants a new Cadillac, or he wants a new color TV, or whatever it might be that they want. And we are told to come boldly under the throne of God. Amen. Now think about that. Boldly to the throne of God. But that isn't what it says. It says, notice again, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to remind you of what God said to Paul. In the book of Corinthians, when Paul was undergoing such attacks of the enemy, that he cried out to God and asked God to take away this thing, then God spoke to him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I want you to think about that for just a minute. My grace is sufficient. I cannot take this from your life at this moment. If I do, you'll not be able to serve me. I'm just transliterating a little bit. You will not be able to serve me in the capacity that I need you to serve me. Now, let me give you a little history. Sometimes it's good to know the history of why something was written. I suppose that Paul wrote it. Nobody knows for sure. But it just seems to be the handiwork of Paul. If it isn't, there was another man that should have wrote some epistles. Amen. I put it that way. It was written to, as we understand, the church at Rome. They were undergoing a tremendous persecution. Christians were being slaughtered. The state was confiscating the property of anyone who was found to be a Christian. They were being imprisoned. They were being burned at the stake. They were suffering tremendous persecution. That is the setting into which this gospel or this epistle is written. And the writer of this epistle tells them that in this situation, what they need more than anything is the grace of God. Notice again, for we have not a high priest, verse 15, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now the word infirmities there doesn't necessarily mean sickness. It means troubles. But was at all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Now, you know, we've said it many times. When you see the word therefore, it's there for something. It ties two thoughts together. It's a conjunctive word. Let us therefore come. Why? First of all, because we have a high priest. He puts it in the negative, but it's still the same thing. For we have a high priest, which can be touched with the feelings of our problems. One that was tried and tempted, that walked in this life, that lived in this life, that suffered and was rejected by men and crucified by men. We have a high priest who knows how we feel. I've shared at different times about one of the greatest experiences in my life. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to my bedside one evening, I had decided to quit the ministry. I had decided that I was going to give it up. This was first or second year, third year, whatever. It wasn't very long into my ministry that I decided this wasn't for me. I had run into a bunch of ministers who were con men and crooks, is what they were. And as I saw what was going on, I made up my mind, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to be a partaker of what they're doing. I'm just going to quit. And my wife's father had offered me a job in Tennessee. And we were going to load up the next day and go to Tennessee and take the job. But it was that night that Jesus came, somewhere about 4 a.m, something like that. It seems like a great deal of the time when God visits my life, it's around 4 a.m. I've often thought about that, and I wondered if the, I don't want to discourage God from doing things like that. But I've often thought maybe he was busy other places until 4 o'clock, and he got around to me at 4 o'clock, but whatever it is. But the thing that I want to tell you tonight is that when I was awakened, when I saw him literally standing beside of my bed, as real as you are to me right now, the thing that I understood when I saw his face before he ever spoke a word to me, the thing that touched me the most was the look on his face that he felt every pain that I felt. Don't ask me how I understood that, but I did. I could tell by the way that he looked at me. It was an empathy, not a sympathy, but an empathy. He felt what I felt. He knew what I was going through. There wasn't an ounce of condemnation. There wasn't any rebuke in his voice whatsoever. He didn't say to me, you sorry thing, you started out and now you want to quit. He didn't say that. No, he looked at me. He smiled at me. And he said, son, everything is all right. Be at peace. That ministered to me in a way that you'll never know. Not unless God reveals it to you through eternity. It became the very strength of my soul from that day on. What I'm trying to tell you here this evening. So often we get the idea that this scripture says that if you've got a problem in your life, you can come to God and the problem will change. That's not what Paul's saying here. Now, don't look at me and say, Brother Potter, are you telling us God does not answer prayer? Certainly I'm not telling you that. Now, I'd be foolish to try to tell you something like that. I've seen God answer many prayers. But I also know there are things in life that cannot be changed. I know that. God spoke to me a few weeks ago and said, I want you to pray for Gladys because if you don't, she's going to die. Hello? When Jerry Comer's mother was in the hospital and they pronounced, you remember, they came and they said there were three things wrong with the woman, three things that could kill her. They called the family and they said, there's no hope. The Spirit of God moved upon me. I went into my closet of prayer and laid on my face and I said, God, don't let her die. And if she's not ready to meet you, if she doesn't know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God kept moving on me over and over and over again. Don't let her die. And all of a sudden there came a word, something miraculous had happened, something had changed. All of a sudden she started responding. All of a sudden she started getting better. A woman that should have died was touched by an answer to prayer. Certainly I believe in answers to prayer, but I want you to understand that answers to prayer don't always mean that you get what you're asking for. I want you to understand what John said. We've got to balance this thing out, but I want you to start forgetting what's on television. Amen. This give me glory stuff that they got going on. I want you to realize something. God sometimes says yes when you pray, but sometimes he also says to you, I can't do it right now. I won't do it right now. And I'm going to give you the grace to walk through this thing. That's what this is saying right here. I'm going to give you grace. What was it that Jesus had? We beheld him as the only begotten of the Father, full of what? What was Jesus full of? Grace and truth. Hello?
A man that when he faced whatever he faced in life, he had the grace to handle that situation. Whenever somebody smote him on the right cheek, he had the grace of God in his life to turn the other one. A man that when the world compelled him to go a mile, he had the grace of God in his life to go two. I remember many years ago going to Central America. And when I was in Central America, before I ever took this church, they served things down there, you didn't know what it was. Whether it hopped, crawled, slithered, jumped, flew, you didn't know what it did. Amen. It was something that was alive and now it was dead. That's all you knew about it. Now, that all sounds well and good when you're talking like that. But now let me ask you something. How many of you folks are willing to sit down to a table like that? Hello? I mean, you hear folks talking all the time and saying, well, eat this rattlesnake. It tastes like chicken. Well, I'd rather eat chicken. Eat this fuzzy-looking spined animal. It tastes like chicken. I'd rather have the chicken. Amen? But I found something. I found that what Paul is saying here was the gospel. Hallelujah. When I sat down with those people and they put things before me that up to that date I wouldn't have touched with a 10-foot pole, all of a sudden the grace of God came over me and I sat at their table and I ate their food with joy because I was filled with the grace of God. Hallelujah. Now, folks, I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to give you the secrets of an overcomer. I hope that you're old enough in the Lord tonight to handle this. Because we have got this cockeyed idea that coming to the throne of God is all we need to do to get anything changed to the way that we want it done. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Then it says, if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petition that we ask of Him. How do you know that? When you come to God in prayer, when you come to the throne of God, and you stand before the throne of God, and you say, God, I need a certain thing in my life, and God says, all right, and He checks it out. He says, you know what? That's on my list for you. Praise God. I'm going to bless you with it. God very often speaks to me when I'm in prayer about something and saying, God, I need something. I've got to do it a certain way. Very often there's a witness of the Holy Spirit that comes when I'm praying, and that is God saying to me, I'm going to do that. And from that moment on, I count it as mine. I don't see it, smell it, taste it, feel it, or hear it, but I know it's going to be mine because the God of the universe has said so. Amen. But there are other times when I pray and I say, God, I'd like for you to do something in my life. And heaven is a little silent. I know God's listening, but He's not giving me an affirmative. He's giving me the grace to walk in the situation that's in my life. Folks, if you can grasp this tonight, you will have established the first step in your life toward walking as an overcomer in Jesus Christ. To know, first of all, I'm going to give you three words tonight, or three little sentences here. And every one of them begin with the word access. I know right now, as a child of God, I have access to the throne of grace. Are you listening to me? I don't have to hire a priest. I don't have to go see somebody. I don't have to call up the super duper somebody in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or somewhere else and tell them to pray for me. I, as an individual who loves God and a child of God, I have access to the throne of God myself. Man came up to me in Sweden the other day and said, "Brother Potter, I want you to pray about a certain thing." I said, "Have you prayed about it?" "Well, yeah, but I want you to pray about it." I said, "Do you think God's going to hear me before He hears you?" Well, he stuttered a little bit. I said, "You mean God's a respecter of persons? You mean that God loves me more than He loves you?" He said, "No, I don't believe that." I said, "Then you talk to Him." I said, "I'll be glad to join you in prayer, but I'm not going to pray for you. I'll pray with you. I want you to know that you have access to the throne of God, which is the throne of grace." How the first thing that happens is the devil comes along and he says to you, "Well, you're not perfect." Hello? He says, "You're not perfect. You make mistakes. You fail." He starts pointing out to you when you yelled at your husband or you said something ugly to your wife. Hello? Or something that you might have done in life. He starts pointing those things out to you, and after a while you feel so down and compressed and under that you don't even bother to go to the throne of grace with God. You don't even go. And you have to realize it's called the throne of grace for a reason. It's because you don't have to be perfect. You come to God through the person of Jesus Christ. And how am I in Jesus Christ? Did God accept me in Jesus Christ because I'm perfect? No. He accepted me because Christ is perfect. And whatever is covered with the blood, God doesn't see anymore. Remember, I preached to you a few weeks ago, and I told you about burying your yesterdays? Hello, have you buried yesterday? Oh, have you buried it? Amen? Remind you, the Word of God tells you that God doesn't remember anything that you have buried in Jesus Christ. And their sins, well, I remember no more. Hallelujah. If I start telling God something I done last week, He's going to say, "I don't remember that." Hello? Now, folks, it don't bother me none if you shout. I'm trying to tell you how to be an overcomer tonight. Do you want to make it? Do you want to go on with God? Do you want to be what God wants you to be? All right. Then understand the first step on this road to living as an overcomer. I'm not talking about coming up every once in a while. I'm talking about living the life of an overcomer and walking triumphantly in God begins by understanding that you have access to the throne of grace. And when you're praying, God will either give you faith for what you're asking for or grace to bear it as you are. Now that's the part that's sticking, I can tell that right now. If I was going to tell you tonight that whenever you come to the throne of grace, that all you had to do was confess the word, and God had to give you what you was asking for, there'd be folks running the aisles and shouting tonight. Hello? We'd have the pews full tonight. But that's not what it says. I said, that's not what it says. It says that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, I certainly am not discounting tonight the fact that God answers prayer. You understand that, don't you? I'm trying to tell you that there are many times when I pray, when I come to the throne of grace, there are many times when I'm praying that I get a positive answer from God. God says, all right, that's in my will. That's what I want in your life. And He just stamps it approved. Amen. And from that day on, in my heart, I know that God's going to do that thing. I know it. But there are other times when I pray for certain things that I also know that God will not let happen, because somehow they are in conflict with His will, and somehow I know that He is not going to leave me to struggle with this thing without His touch in my life. And so God gives me the grace to walk on and to bear whatever it is that I have to bear. Do you know where to go when you're wounded and hurt? Do you know? I talked to you this morning about the wounds that a Christian receives. Every child of God that walks with God is going to be wounded sooner or later. It's inevitable. I don't know anybody that's ever got through this life. Studying the history of overcomers and those who stand for God. Excuse me. My nose is running tonight. Amen. I don't know anybody that has taken a stand for God. Now, you might show me somebody that's never stood up for God. You might show me somebody that's never taken a stand for the gospel and is living a haphazard life. You know, Gladys reminded me of something I had read that David Wilkerson wrote in the 73rd Psalm about Asaph, the man who wrote that psalm. And this man was bothered. He had walked with God all these years, and now he is bothered because he doesn't see the blessing of God in his life as much as he sees it in the man's life who is living wickedly. He said, why do the wicked prosper? Why is it that trouble doesn't come to their door? You may show me somebody who lives a half-consecrated, lackadaisical, compromised Christian life, and they're blessed on every hand. Don't point them out to me. I'm talking about those people who take a stand in their faith and say, I'm going to walk with God and I'm going to live for God, and they live an overcoming life. I will show you a person who will be wounded in the battle. I love the poem that Amy Carmichael wrote. The poem that says, hast thou no scar? The last few lines of that lovely poem says, hast thou no scar? Thou canst not have followed very far if thou hast no scar. Now, folks, there are going to be times that you're going to be wounded. And as I said this morning, most often you're wounded by those that you love. You're going to be wounded by your Christian brother or sister. It happens. Someone you had faith in, someone you had confidence in, someone that prayed with you, blessed you, and all of a sudden there's something in their heart they've never surrendered to God, and they turn from God. And instead of blessing you, they wound you. It's the worst kind of wound. It's a spiritual wound. Do you know where to go when you're wounded? Do you know where to go? To the throne of grace. I can tell you tonight, I would not be here. Like Sister Gladys said a while ago, I wouldn't be here tonight. I can say it with concrete evidence. I can tell you unequivocally tonight, I would not be behind this pulpit. I would be in a mental institution. Some of you think I need to be there anyway, but that's all right. Amen. I would be dead tonight, in my grave tonight, had it not been that I knew where to go when I was wounded. I went to the great physician, and God healed my heart by His grace. Do you know where to go when you're sorrowful and lonely? Which of us here tonight have not been touched by the loss of a loved one? You remember the sorrow and the hurt? That lonely feeling when you looked in that room that person always stayed in, or the closet their clothes were hanging in, and loneliness and sorrow swept over your heart? My friend, it can destroy you. It's put many a person in the hospital. It's put many person into depression. It sold lots of Prozac, I can tell you that. But you've got a choice. You don't have to have Prozac. Praise God. You can go to the throne of God. You, as a child of God tonight, God has given you this. God has given you this. Access. Access to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. You, as a Christian, trying to walk with God, have you ever sinned and erred and know in your heart that you offended God? Have you ever done that? Every one of us have. Certainly, as soon as you do that, Satan shows up to try to beat you into the mud with it. Do you know where to go with it? Do you know where to go when you have missed God? Do you know what it's like that you don't have to live in condemnation? You don't have to live in fear of the judgment of God if you will take your sin to the throne of grace and receive grace to help in a time of need? Do you know what it's like tonight to need direction? Through my mind, when I'm talking about this, I can picture every one of you coming to me at some time or another and say, "Brother Potter, pray for me. I need direction in my life." Amen. If this house was full tonight, it wouldn't make any difference. At some time in the life of these people here in this church, they have everyone come to me and say, "Brother Potter, pray about the direction I'm taking. Pray about a job that I'm going, a place I'm going. Pray about something, a direction that I need to go in my life." Do you know where to go when you need direction? I can tell you, you have access to the throne of grace. One of the things about seeking God, first of all, is you have to be serious. I've noticed that God doesn't answer much when you're not serious. You know that? If you go to God half-heartedly, and you give a half-hearted prayer to God, like my pastor used to say many years ago, we have a lot of Christians that want a $10,000 answer for a 10-cent prayer. Hello? Doesn't work that way, does it? You have to get serious with God. But when you are serious with God, do you know how to go to God and get an answer? I can think of so many times in my life that God has given direction. God has spoken. God has said, "I want you to do this. I want you to go there. I want you to minister in this life or that life." We could give you hundreds of examples. But it's not my life I'm worried about tonight. It's yours. Hello? Every single one of you someday are going to face a task, a time. You're going to face something in your life when you're not going to be able to find somebody who can pray for you. And you're going to have to count on your relationship with God to get the job done. Amen. You're going to have to count on your ability to come to the throne of God and take that access to God and say, God, I need to know. And I'm going to tell you something. When God speaks to your life, when God begins to speak to your heart and give you divine direction, you'll kick yourself 1,000 times for asking somebody else to tell you what God wanted in your life. There is nothing like going to God, nothing like coming to the throne of grace, and having God put something in your heart to speak to you, to confirm somehow, to tell you what He wants, and then minister that to you. Folks, if you've never been, if you've never experienced this, you have robbed yourself of some of the greatest experiences in the Christian life. The Scripture mentions that we should come to find grace to help. How many of us at different times have needed help? Amen? How many of us at different times have bowed our head to God and said, God, I need You to help me. Amen. I'm between a rock and a hard place, God. I'm hurting here, Lord. I need You right now, Lord. I need Your help in my life right now. I need it. Do you know how to go to the throne of grace? Do you have confidence in the fact that God hears you when you pray? You see, let me point out something tonight. I think it'll help you immensely. The first thing is this. One of these things that is the fallout from this business of you always get what you pray for is that when you don't get what you pray for, you begin to doubt the fact that God hears you. Are you listening to me now? I don't know how many Christians have come to me and said, Brother Potter, we got 20 minutes left. Amen. No, that ain't what they said. Amen. They say, Brother Potter, it seems like, now listen to me, and think if you've ever thought this before. They come and they say, I don't believe God hears me anymore. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever come to that place? I have. When God was teaching me all of this, I come to that place and said, God, the heavens seem to be brass. You don't seem to hear me anymore. But it wasn't that God wasn't hearing me. It was that I wasn't willing to hear what God had to say to me. The only answer that I wanted to hear was God say, I'm going to change the problem. And you can't come to God with that kind of an attitude. When you come to God for His help, you have to understand that that help may be the answer that you're praying about, but it also may be the grace that'll help sustain you in your walk with Him by not receiving what you're praying for. If you knew that somebody was going to break into your house at any moment and take you and your family and throw them into prison, if you knew that everything that you had worked and labored for all of your life could suddenly be confiscated by the local government, and that your life was worthless, I believe I would be praying for help. would be praying, God, get me out of here. God, send deliverance to my life. But that's not what Paul says. This epistle intrigues me because of the depth of it and the power of it. Now, I know I'm not going to get through with all three of these things. We got the first one tonight. But if I have to take it slowly and give it to you in slow doses, it's all right. I want you to understand that God has for you access to the throne of God if you will come with an open heart and an open mind and be willing to accept the answer that God gives you. I know one thing tonight about this place tonight. Amens are scarce. I heard an amusing song back several months ago. It was a country song. I don't know if Garth Brooks sang it or not. It was something like he'd sang. And it talks about going to a school reunion. Who was it? Garth Brooks, all right. And he tells about how that when he was in school, there was some old girl there he wanted to marry. And he prayed to marry this girl. And then 25 years later, he saw her, and he began to say, thank God for unanswered prayer. Now, I'm not picking on anybody tonight. I'm just trying to say that there are times in life, we pray for something, and a few years later, when God shows us what it could have caused in our life, we turn around and begin to thank God for not answering prayer in our life. Amen. Now, Sister Potter prayed that God would give me to her, and He did. What a blessing. She's not even in here, is she? All right. Here I'm trying to pick on her. She's not even where I can see her. Now, maybe she wishes prayer hadn't been answered there. I don't know. But do you see what I'm driving at tonight? If you can accept this first proposition, you will be on your way to the first step of understanding what it means to be an overcomer. I have faith in my heart when I go to the throne of grace that I'm going to get an answer. Hallelujah. I know. I'm going to get an answer. Now, it may not be the answer that I want. God may not give me that new Porsche. Amen. Or that new Mercedes. Amen. He may not give me that thing that I want in life. Very seldom does, as usual. But the point is this, I know that when I go to God in prayer, I am going to get an answer. I'm either going to get the thing that I prayed about, or I'm going to get the grace to walk with God without it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do I need to say it again? Do I need to tell you one more time? Hallelujah. When I go to God in prayer, I'm going to come home from the throne of God with an answer. I'm either going to have the petition that I ask of God, or I'm going to have the grace of God to walk in this life as an overcomer without what I prayed for. That is coming to the throne of God and obtaining mercy and grace to help in time of need. The first part of this you have to understand. Just because you don't get what you're asking for does not mean that God has gone deaf. It doesn't mean that we've got to buy God a hearing aid. It doesn't mean that He's asleep or died. Hello? It means that you're not willing to hear it all. Whenever I come to God with an open heart and say, God, I just want to hear from you, Lord. I just want to hear from you. Are you going to touch this thing in my life? Are you going to open a door this way? Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes He just says, well, Potter, I'm going to give you another shovel full of grace. Amen. Most of you know that I have some physical problems. One day, back several months ago, I noticed that I was having blood in my urine. Not just a little bit, a lot. Now, folks, that's not a good sign about anything. It kept happening. Kept happening. Amen. Now, maybe it's not nice to hear about, but it's scary. Went to the doctor, and he said, well, we'll just try you on some of these antibiotics or something. I have no idea what it was to this day. I have no idea. But I remember going to the minister's prayer meeting. And in the minister's prayer meeting, I told him, folks, I need prayer. I need God to touch me. I've got a physical problem right now that God needs to touch now. I remember them men laying their hands on me. And I also remember the touch of God that came on me at that particular moment. I remember Brother Clark Richardson standing back and saying, oh, I wish I could get just a little bit of what Brother Potter's receiving right now. That's exact words. And from that moment on, it never happened again. Well, glory to God. Amen. Now, why God healed that and not the rest of my problems, I don't know. Except He's given me the grace to walk in it. Hallelujah. Now, folks, if I leave this walk of life before you do, don't cry for me. Cry for yourself. Because you're the one that's left in this life, not me. Amen. Hallelujah. We look at this thing all backwards, don't we? Well, praise God. But that doesn't stop me. About every month or two, I say, God, is it time yet? Is it time to touch me? Is it time to heal me? I keep asking. Maybe one day I'll get a yes answer. But most of the time, I just get this answer, son, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Now, regardless of what you hear on television, I'm going to tell you something. I don't serve a mean God. I serve a God that loves me and that loves humanity and that loves the church world. And I know one thing that it's done. I know one thing that all these problems have done in my life. They have made me to know Jesus Christ in a way that I would have never known Him. Never. If God hadn't allowed that humility to come into my life. I said, Brother Potter, we didn't know you had any. Well, I'll hide it very well. Amen. But I'm serious. God has used this for His own glory. And I know there's a lot of people outside these doors tonight that don't want to hear that. And if they ever hear this tape, they're going to say, well, Brother Potter sure has been deceived. Well, that's their opinion. I'm willing to take what has happened in my life to the throne of God tonight. I'm willing to stand there before the throne of God with what God has spoken into my heart. I'm willing to stand there with what I believe. I wonder if they are. Amen. I said, I wonder if they are. We so often twist the Word of God into something it doesn't say. Praise God. I want you to be blessed tonight when you leave here. I want you to be blessed in your Christian life. And know beyond the shadow of a doubt tonight that when you pray, God hears you. God hears you when you pray. Dear sister came one time and she said, Brother Potter, I just don't believe God hears me anymore. And I told her, I said, well, why don't you say a few good cuss words then? And she said, well, I can't do that. I said, why? She said, God would hear me. And I said, you mean God will hear you cuss, but he won't hear you pray? She said, it don't make sense, does it? Amen. See how silly we get sometimes. God always hears the prayers of his saints. He always does. But you have to understand something. He doesn't hear them in the sense that he's going to give you that immediate relief or answer that you're praying for every single time. That scripture that John gave us, if we know that he hears us, there's something about in your spirit. I'm just going to say it's a little button. I don't know how to describe it. But there's something in your heart when you're praying. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just punches that little button inside of your heart. And all of a sudden, there's just a smile that comes on your face. And you say, wow, God heard that. God heard and he answered. And that thing that I'm praying about is going to come to pass. You know it. You know it. But there are other times when the presence of God just overwhelms me. Nothing changes. Nothing changes. But the presence of God just overwhelms me and says, son, I'm still with you. And my grace is sufficient in your life. Now, folks, now I didn't tell you that you were going to like what I told you. I preached the message in Sweden when I was over there, and the title of the message was The Things That God Didn't Tell Israel When He Brought Them Out of Egypt. Hello? God didn't tell them about giants. He didn't tell them about great walled cities. He didn't tell them about seven nations stronger than they were. He didn't tell them about a wilderness. He didn't tell them about bitter waters. He didn't tell them about not being able to eat the food they wanted. They thought it was a short trip. It was an 11-day journey. That's all it was. They had no idea it was going to take 40 years. God didn't tell them that. God doesn't tell you everything when you start. Amen. Hallelujah. I know a woman who prayed earnestly to know about a certain young man, if it was God's will to marry that man. I hope this doesn't blow your mind tonight. She prayed earnestly about whether it was God's will or not to marry this man. God gave her an irrefutable truth, answer, that it was his will. She married that young man. And for several years, they seemed to be extremely happy. But after a time, there was trouble that came to that life. A lot of trouble. She found out he was seeing another woman. Now, you may say, Brother Potter, now wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Doesn't God know everything? Doesn't God know that that man was going to sin like that? Yes, he did. But it was still his will for that couple to be together. It was still his will for them to marry in the beginning. Now, I know you may have a hard time with that. We think because the will of God is something in our life that it means that we're going to walk on a primrose path all the way from here to glory. It's not that way, folks. And if you don't understand that, you are going to fail as a Christian. You are not going to make it as a child of God. How many minutes? 5 minutes left. All right. Every promise in the book of Revelations is to the overcomer. Have you ever noticed that? The seven churches. Every single promise is to the overcomer. Now, folks, I want you to stand before God and to wear a crown. Amen. I want you to stand before God and say, God, I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Amen. I overcame because you made me an overcomer. You gave me the things to make me an overcomer. And you helped me to use those things to walk with you. The first of these things tonight is access to the throne of God. I don't know about the next service. I don't know exactly what the Lord's going to deal with about. But on the, there are three things in the book of Hebrews. I'll preach you the first one tonight. The second one I'll preach probably next Sunday night. And again, all three of these things are access to something. And if you'll understand the access, you will understand the beginning of victory in your Christian life. Don't miss these things. Amen. Seems like when the Lord gives me something so important, half the church stays home. Amen. The other series that I'm going to finish for you, probably Wednesday night, I will preach again on this subject, is things that the devil uses to gain control over your life. It's evident that there are folks that have, the devil's got some control in their life. It's evident. And I want God to break that in your life. In the lives of everybody that attends this church, I want God to break those things that Satan is using to gain control over Christian lives. Hallelujah. Folks, I want you to shine. Amen. We're going to spit and polish till you shine. Amen. We're going to help you let your light shine. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess I said everything I need to say. Probably run out of tape by now. Not quite yet. All right, well, it's time to shut up anyway. Amen. Praise God. I hope this has ministered to you. Has this helped you tonight? Has it helped you in your walk with God? I hope it has. Amen. It's the first step. Now, we're going to pray right now. And I'm going to ask God this week to drive this into your heart and make you understand what I'm talking about tonight. Answer my prayer, God. And if you don't answer it, give me the grace to walk where I am. Amen. Because He's going to do one or the other. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for being here, and thank You for Your word to our heart. And I know that the enemy has done his best to try to resist this message tonight, but that's all right. We are going to see overcomers. We are going to see them. We claim them in Jesus' name. This people that attend this church, God, are going to be overcomers. Hallelujah. They're going to be overcomers. There are some that have strived so long, and the house that they have built has fallen, God. But God, we want You to pick the pieces up and move it to the rock and make every single one here an overcomer, that when the storm of life comes again, they will laugh at the storm because they're founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray for our book tonight. Amen. Stretch your hand out toward me tonight, would you? Praise God. We're going to pray. Father, we ask You to bless every name, every person, every need. As we lay our hands upon this book, O God, and everyone in the audience prays tonight. Lord, we come to the throne of grace now. Lord, there are things in here that we know that You're going to answer, God. We know that there are going to be answers to prayers here. Lord, and some of these things You're going to give grace, and some You're going to give a spectacular miracle, or a touch, or a healing. But either way, God, we're going to give You praise tonight, and glory, and honor, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back. I'm extremely tired right now. I guess you can tell that. Amen. Over in Sweden, it's a whole lot later there than it is here. Amen. My body got adjusted to that time, so I'm still at night. In the evening, I get real, real tired real quick. So,